Hey, I'm Butterfly.
Hey, I'm Firefly.
Have you ever wondered if we aren't being told the truth about everything?
What have we been lied to about? Join us as we have conversations and ask questions about everything. We invite you to keep an open mind and consider the unfathomable.
Let's break the chains that enslave our minds. Come on, let's go down the rabbit hole.
What's up, Butterfly?
Hey, Firefly, what's going on?
Well, I'm so excited to see you.
I'm excited to see you.
We have kind of an interesting rabbit hole to go down.
I know.
We've been thinking.
It's kind of a personal rabbit hole.
It's a little personal.
I mean, it affects us. It affects us, yeah.
Where the rubber meets the road, as they say.
Yeah.
We're kind of talking about the dynamics of social engineering, I think, today.
Yeah. Well, where we're seeing it is the inorganic algorithms that are affecting our show.
That's so cathartically worthy. It's cathartic. It almost feels good to say it.
It does.
Inorganic algorithm.
That's like a mouthful.
It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I feel like a smart person because I say that.
I know.
It's kind of like I'm a paleogeneticist.
We might not be paleogeneticists, yes, but we have inorganic algorithms.
I'm proud of myself that I can actually put that together in a sentence. So do we mean?
What are we talking about?
Yeah, what do we mean? So inorganic. Inorganic means that the algorithm is not just organic. It means that they're meddling.
Yeah, we can tell because it's like we kind of got into this a little bit in another episode, and we don't want to sound like crybabies because we're not.
We're just observing.
And this, because this, we feel like this is a microcosm and a small glimpse of the bigger picture,
a larger phenomenon.
Because what's happening is it's like when we first started doing this show, which wasn't really that long ago, we were getting like a decent amount of views for just coming out of nowhere. You know what I mean? And then they dropped off
precipitously.
And we didn't have any followers. We had like two. Yeah. I think it was like me and you and like maybe two of your friends.
That's it.
But now like we only have like maybe 20 on Rumble, which isn't very many.
Yeah.
It should have been more. But suddenly like we were getting like 200 views on some of our just on like Rumble. And now we're getting like 30 after like 3 days.
Yeah. It feels so inorganic.
Something weird is going on because with more people following, and after doing this for a few months, it should have grown. You know what I mean?
Do you remember that episode where you went and visited the island?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened down the island? That bird.
The bad bird.
There was a bad bird. And the bird was pretty much told, you got to go.
Yeah. We don't want you here.
We're going to tag you and put blue stuff on you. And we're going to track you. And we're going to make sure.
We're going to track and trace you.
Like
we do with the people.
It's like Larry Ellison's like, keep your eyes on that bird. You know?
We got word from above that we got to track this bird. He's bad.
And ultimately what they want to do is they want to eradicate that bird. He got voted off the island.
Yeah, he was voted off. And he keeps coming back because he can fly.
Keeps coming back. And they're like, I can tell it's him because they put that blue thing on his beak.
But that's like us. We're going to just keep flying back.
Well, that's it. They want to eradicate us from Pleasure Island.
They do.
But see, I kind of just laugh at it because it's like, whatever, you know, they're meddling.
They are. Well, I mean, I think the reason why we wanted to talk about this was it's so obvious when they do this kind of thing, because we mentioned like the whole Instagram thing before, which is that's completely inorganic too, the way they're meddling with that account. But it just is an example of the bigger picture, which is what they do. Everything is socially engineered.
Yeah.
They don't want voices like us and our messages to be heard.
No.
They want what they want out there because they want to drive behavior.
We are. Remember on the island, there's like, see those weeds over there? Those are invasive.
Yeah.
We're going to remove those. They're eradicated.
But don't step on them.
Don't step on them.
We're going to do it. We have Roundup for that.
Sir, stay on the path, sir. Sir, please put down the hoe. No, but we are those weeds that they want to eradicate.
Totally.
And they're just like,
they have their ways of doing it.
And so what they do is they go, no followers for you.
Yeah. No. So we're going to delete all your followers. And then, and now we're going to make the algorithm so like nobody can ever even really like find you. They got to go through leads to find you.
It's kind of one of those things too, where they can always go, no, it's not that. You're just unpopular.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the case.
No. But what we, the fact is, what we've talked about many times is that most people are followers.
Yes.
In real life.
Yes.
So, and you know, the thing about followers is they want to follow the popular crowd. You know what I mean?
Someone sees that you don't have any popular, any followers, they go, listen to that.
Yeah. They think, oh, you're lame. You're not popular. I'm going to go follow this person that has like 500 million followers.
And the social engineers, know that.
Yeah.
And they bank on that. Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
So like they're like, oh, well, if you pay a lot of money, we can help you get followers. Well, those organic. Those aren't, you know but what they'll do is just tweak the algorithm.
You know who owns Instagram is Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a video with Mark Zuckerberg the other day.
Ew,
he wears glasses now.
I know. He thinks he's cool. He's got like these like big rimmed glasses.
He's probably brain chipped. And those glasses are probably like blue pilling him in some way. Mm-hmm. But anyways, he was like going, did you know that the average American only has like 3 friends? And I
is
was
he basing
like,
that on his own life?
Like he's certainly like, I know. Well, first of all, he's like analyzing the data, I guess. And he's like deducing that from data. I don't know where he's getting it, but it just shows like how he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Like as if there is a prescribed amount of friends that you should have.
Right.
You know, and it's just kind of like this video game mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, my life should be comprised of this many friends. Mm-hmm. And I bet he even categorizes his friends. He's like, well, this friend is in this category and this friend is in this category. And then, so what he was suggesting, and I'm not joking, he was suggesting that people who don't have enough friends should now have virtual friends that we create.
Well, of course.
So we have your AI buddy.
Yeah. And we're going to give you a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make you popular.
You're going to be popular.
Yeah. You'll have all the friends you want. You'll be in the in crowd.
But it's artificial.
It's artificial, but that's okay. Put on your virtual goggles and just enjoy your virtual friends.
But we're going to remove those virtual friends if you say stuff about that country from 1948. Or if you say something about the Stabbies. Or
whatever we don't like.
It's free-ish speech.
If you say something about anything that we don't approve of.
Then I'm going to remove your virtual friends.
No friends for you.
No virtual friends.
No friends for you. No followers for you.
And
no views for you.
That's right.
It's like the soup Nazi on.
You are eradicated.
Did you ever see
no
that
soup for you.
Episode of Seinfeld?
No I soup saw the for you. Soup of course. No soup for you. And what's he saying? No soup for you. Ouch.
Yeah.
You're canceled. You're eradicated from the island. You're voted off. And so I'm starting to think that the Indian guys who are controlling all of the algorithms, they've been told butterfly.
From their brain chips.
Butterfly and firefly are voted off the island. They are not allowed to have a audience, I'm afraid. But what if this was kind of an idea that I had?
I know.
What if while the Indian dudes are listening to our episode to edit it and to censor it.
Screw up our algorithms.
Like, what if we cause their brain chip to malfunction and they get red-pilled?
I know.
Right there in Silicon Valley. And it starts like a chain reaction where all the Indian dudes in Silicon Valley get red-pilled.
And they suddenly want to listen to
like,
us.
Yeah. And they're like, I am no longer suppressing your algorithm. And then now we can find our audience.
And all those people that tried to follow us before suddenly are there.
Well, now they listen to our episode and they go, oh my gosh, this has 15,000 likes. And they have 40 million followers. I'm going to follow them.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes. So see, that's why I'm kind of white-pilled.
I know.
Is because the social engineers, I don't think they can control everything.
They can control it pretty well to a point, but if
there's some phenomena that takes place, like people can become popular and it just completely overwhelms their systems.
If people get, you know, if the word gets out, like you were comparing us on one episode to a little Chinese restaurant and the word gets out that we have really good food.
Yes.
So we're, you know, we know, like, if the word gets out, like if some of our 20 followers share with, you know, they share with one friend,
they have good doubles,
and they tell a friend, and yes, so on and so on.
That's how I think we
it's so, like a commercial for that shampoo in the 80s.
And that's funny that you bring that up, because that was another thing we were kind of thinking, is maybe in every episode we need to remind our audience,
if you like us,
if you like us, share us organically, like text message a link to your friends that you hang out with, that you talk to online, because
maybe one of them will like us and share it with a friend.
Yeah.
And then the Indian dudes will get overwhelmed.
Because the Indian dudes right now have been like,
oh, and they might even get red pilled.
Yeah, they might, but they haven't yet. The Indian dudes are still brain chipped. And the status quo right now, as we speak, is Butterfly, you and Firefly are voted off of the island.
With that bird.
You're with that bird. We have tagged you and tracked you. And we know where you are. And you may not come back to the nest here. You need to go. As a matter of fact, we need you to die. That's pretty much how it is. Because that bird, where's he going to go?
I know.
Is he going to go to the other island? He's probably not invited there either.
No.
So he's probably just like basically asked out. Yeah. He's like, fuck. You need to go fly around the ocean until you just drop dead.
Poor thing.
You're marked for death.
Yeah.
You know, like that Steven Seagal movie. No, so I think that's kind of what's going on, is they're social engineering. They're saying Michael, or they're saying Butterfly, you and Firefly. They're saying, we control who becomes famous.
Oh my God.
We control who becomes influencer.
Well, it's all through micromanagement, you know.
It's through micromanagement. And that is the larger phenomena that our circumstance is kind of a microcosm for.
Mm-hmm.
Our podcast and the way that the Indian dudes are micromanaging us is a microcosm for some larger phenomena.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. And we were talking about, you know, it's so they want to engineer outcomes.
Yes.
You know, and drive our behavior so that
That was Larry Fink.
Larry Fink.
Larry Fink. Who just said, you know, with financial instruments, we're going to drive behavior.
God, it's so creepy.
And that's kind of micromanagement. Right?
It is. But they want to engineer the outcomes. So they're going to allow the narrative that they want out there so that people hear that and go along with it. And the more people that follow these stories or these narratives that they want followed, the bigger they get. And then people think, oh, this must be the cool thing to believe, you know, and this is how they act accordingly.
That's right.
You know, so
that's right.
So it's like, I mean, we've seen how they were able to manipulate elections and everything else by making it look like one candidate was like so popular and doing, you know, this is the way to go. This is what everybody wants. And even if, you know, a lot of people like the walkers, even if they might have some kind of conscious thought about like, oh, I don't know if that's really what I want. If they see that everybody wants that, then they're just going to go along with it.
You know what it makes me think?
You know what I mean?
Do you remember when Rolling Stone magazine used to be really cool?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
I used to get really mad and like emotionally invested in their top 100 lists back in the 90s, because they'd put out a top 100 guitarist of all time. And I remember I would have just objections about some of their selections.
Oh.
But if you think about it, they're kind of social engineering.
Yeah.
They're saying,
they might have just like put that out there.
Yeah.
So that everybody goes, oh, okay, that must be.
So this is the best.
Yeah.
This guy is good.
This is the best. We were told
and
that.
And now
they
I
told
thought
us that.
I thought this guy was the best, but he's actually number 50.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to calibrate my opinion, perhaps.
People do that.
Because a reputable source like Rolling Stone magazine has told me that, you know, Steve Vai is number 50. He's not number
so
one.
So he's not that good.
He's not.
Yeah.
I used to really think Steve Vai was good, but now Rolling Stone said he's number 50 of all time.
Yeah.
So I guess he's not that good.
Yeah. And you know, a lot is people are so easily influenced.
Yeah.
That it doesn't take much, just that kind of tweak to make people go along with it. You know?
You know what
they
I think
want
they're
to be
trying
in
to do
crowd.
That? I think they're trying to make like fat girls hot. And I think they're trying
totally.
To, they're trying to make fat girls hot. And they're trying to,
but at the same time, trying to get people to take Ozempic.
But take Ozempic, but you're hot.
A little skinnier.
Take Ozempic, but you're hot. It's kind of like that's a contradictory blue pill.
Yeah.
But what the reason I kind of bring that up is because they're social engineering that too. Mm-hmm. They're saying, shut up, she's hot.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
And don't fat shame her.
Don't fat shame her. She's hot.
She's gorgeous.
And so it's all like them forcing it on you. And people seem to be like okay with it.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes me annoyed. Like, I don't like being told, you know, no.
What's hot?
Yeah, exactly. No, she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't understand. Firefly, she's hot. Well, okay, yeah.
Or like all the transy stuff. It's like, oh yeah, this is normal. Totally normal to cut off your, you know what.
It's totally normal that dude went into the GameStop and was like, excuse me, it's ma'am. That's a normal person. And he's 6'3", 275 pounds.
I think I saw that guy at the mall last week.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. And then he gets mad and he goes, if you call me sir again, we're going to go outside. It's ma'am.
Beat you up.
So that's normal. And so that's kind of the social engineering, is they're telling us, this is good, this is bad,
mm-hmm.
this is normal. And you know what? That's the media. The media says, no, 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 no.
We'll tell you what's right and what's
you
wrong.
Don't make up your own mind.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-mm.
You're free-ish.
This is the problem, though, with society, is a lot of people don't make up their own minds. Like, we saw this during the Cooties fiasco. They just went along with what they were told. They didn't use any critical thinking skills whatsoever. And they just believed whatever the news was telling them and did what the TV told them to do. So it's like, and you know what? I think a lot of people, they don't want to make up their own minds. They want to be told what to do.
They
do. Did you have an epiphany just
then? I had an epiphany just now. You know what it made me think of? See, I've been living in Southern California since like
a long time.
A long time, right? So the Lakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I notice is, like, right now, if you go walk around or drive around, you don't really see a lot of Laker stuff on cars.
No, not really.
But when the Lakers are in the finals, all of a sudden, there's a bunch of Laker stuff.
Oh, right.
People got the little flags, and they've got suddenly stickers, and everybody's wearing a Kobe jersey.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, dude, there's all these Laker fans.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they're in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
So if they weren't in the finals, people probably wouldn't be doing that.
No.
Yeah.
If the like right now, like the Lakers had a horrible year last year, you don't really see a lot. You'll see a few things, but people aren't just
because
like,
people, I think
they're front runners.
They are. They want to be with the popular in crowd, and they want to be with winners. You know that?
See, like me, like I'm not a football. It kind of gets back to fandom, right?
Yeah.
I don't really like professional sports, but what I have always been is a Raider fan. I've always liked the Raiders.
It's interesting.
But the Raiders suck a lot.
Yeah.
And they always seem to suck. They were good back when I was a little kid. They were awesome. But I always like them. I'm a Raider fan, and I'm a Laker fan, and I've always liked Tiger Woods. So I like choose my things, and that's mine. Yeah. And I root for them no matter what, even if they're not even doing good.
You know what?
Other people go, oh, yeah. Well, no, I look at who's on the leaderboard and then I'm not their fan.
Do you want to know something about me?
Yes.
This is kind of, I don't know if this is weird, but I tend to, maybe this is why I want to do this podcast. I don't know. I tend to root for underdogs.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know why that is, but I guess I feel bad for them or something. And I feel like if they just had like more encouragement, they might do better.
You know what? Maybe subconsciously, you know that this artificial inorganic social engineering is going on and has been going on probably our whole life.
Yeah.
And so the underdog is probably artificially the underdog.
The person that's like really trying, but they're up against insurmountable odds. You know what I mean? Like something going against them that isn't natural. You know,
like I always hated the Yankees. Why? Because they always have the biggest payroll.
Mm-hmm.
They can like, pay them $100 million a year.
So now the Dodgers, I think, have the biggest payroll, and it's obscene. It's like they've totally stacked the team. Like they've paid out billions in you know.
And so then I'm going to root for the Angels.
Yeah. So
I don't. Root I for do. Dodgers.
That's me. Like,
because
I'm like,
the Angels kind of don't have any big stars.
Yeah, I don't like the Dodgers. I never really did.
But... And I like the Clippers. I don't like the Lakers.
Yeah.
Because the Lakers have all the big. They got. I can't stand LeBron James.
Yeah.
Can't stand.
He's
that
like
dude.
A one of the main.
And they got all the money, and they've got all the ego, and they've got, you know, so. I see where you're coming from with the underdog. It's almost like the big moneyed interests kind of forced.
They're pushing it and driving our behavior. And, you know, and it just, and it bugs too. I mean, like, this is why they charge, I think, $15 for a Coke at Dodger Stadium.
I know.
I mean, it's really, it should be illegal. You know what I mean? It's like,
you know, my friend,
it's not even like you're getting something special.
The last time we went to, Dodger Stadium, it was back in 2004. That was the last time I went to a Dodger game. It was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But I went there with my friends and we got hammered. And it was really funny.
You must have spent a fortune.
No. I spent a fortune because I was going and buying beers. And each beer was like, and this was 2004 money, like $10.
Now they're like 20.
But my friend brought in a Camelback, or what do you call those things?
Oh, yeah.
And there was a
straw
with a little straw, and you just bring it like a Camelback, right? And he filled it with vodka.
Oh, no.
So he got hammered on vodka, just drinking. And plus, it was hot. We were in the sun. So, what happened was, it was pretty funny. The Dodgers came to the bottom of the ninth, and they were down two runs. And we were hammered. And we started a wave.
Oh, no.
And the wave caught on.
Uh-huh.
And the Dodgers came back and won the game.
Wow.
And it was unbelievably awesome.
That's so cool.
And we kind of felt like we...
Like you could, you did, you had something to do with it.
I felt like I engineered their comeback.
Yeah.
By being hammered. Maybe. And just bringing that energy. Because we were close enough to the dugout where I think they heard us like... Bring in that energy.
Yeah. You know what? Energy really makes a difference. It does.
We need something like that.
We need a wave.
Yeah. We need someone to do like a wave. Cause you know, what I notice is it's all momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what the Indian dudes are trying to do is like,
they're trying to stop them. Cause actually
there would be no momentum for
you. And this is why we know this is happening. We were getting a momentum for a while and it was like building and then suddenly the brakes went on. Well, so it was like obviously inorganic and
you know what I think they probably did? They probably went, whoa, now, hold on. They're starting to find some traction. We need to calibrate this immediately because look, they are saying stuff that we don't like. And what if that catches on?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and nip it in the butt.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if they say that in India, like nip it in the butt. No, we do not know that colloquialism. We don't know that colloquialism. But anyways. But I think what we were talking about, though, too, is the social engineering is driven by micromanagement.
Mm-hmm.
What we're seeing with our artificial, they're not just letting things be.
They're not letting it just evolve organically.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, if you go to the hospital, if you go to the emergency room, there's these ridiculous protocols and ridiculous hoops. Someone was telling me they went to the emergency room recently and it was like hours.
Yeah. Oh, it's always like that. Yeah. It's so inefficient. I mean, you could die by the time like you get out of there just waiting to be seen.
And then like, oh, well, sorry, you can't come into this hospital. You got to go to the other one because that's the protocol.
Yeah. That's our policy.
That's our policy.
For your type of injury.
Or remember, like, if you got the cooties and you went to the doctor and you took one of their fake PCR tests and they told you you had the cooties, then they'd go, come here, we've got some remdesivir for you. Remember remdesivir?
You walked in on your own accord
and, yes.
You know, you had the sniffles, but now we're going to kill you.
Now you're going to be on a ventilator and die.
You need to be on a ventilator. We can tell by your sniffles. Because
those were the protocols.
Yeah.
And I think...
Policy.
I think that is actually an interesting thing. Do you remember during COVID?
Cooties.
The protocol... I'm sorry. Cooties.
Maybe, you know what? I think the Indian dudes caught on to our codes.
They're like,
oh.
Butterfly, cooties. I know that cooties is that disease that we are talking about. I know. But see, I have to get in the habit of doing it because you're right. It gets flagged.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, so during cooties, there was a protocol. Mm-hmm. Remember? And we got protocoled to death.
Did
so
what, not us
not
but,
us
but a lot of people
we as a, like a, the family of Americans
yeah
In the family of humanity,
right?
We got protocol to death. Humans got protocol to death.
Yeah.
So what they did was they said, okay, first of all, put your mask on. Here's the protocols of cooties. It's first of all, no. Very first thing, shut up.
Yeah.
Very first thing is shut your mouth.
And we're going to help you do that by putting a mask on.
Now cover your disgusting mouth with a mask and keep it shut. That's the first protocol. Yeah. The second protocol is take one of our PCR tests.
Which will be positive.
It's going to be positive most likely.
Yeah. We have ways of making it positive. We turn the dials up to, you know, how our dials go to 11. Their dials went to like 40 or 50.
I can't remember what it was. Yeah, it was kind of like RPMs or something.
They turned them up like so far so the cycle would keep going. And that's how they
something measured. To do with like spinning. I can't remember how that worked, but the PCR test anyways.
Well, the guy that invented it said it wasn't designed
Terry
to.
Willis.
Yeah, it wasn't designed to diagnose anything. And he said you can just turn the dials up and you will find a little bit of something. In everything.
Yeah. So it's not meaningful.
Yeah. So you could basically, you know, find Ebola in something if you like turn it up.
From what I understood about the PCR test is if I had the common cold anytime in the last 10 years, they turn it up to 40. They're going to find a molecule of the common cold in me.
Yeah.
And they'll call it they'll call it cooties.
Maybe you just like, you know, had one fragment of one of those germs in your body, you know?
So now the protocol is go take the test. Mm-hmm. Then if you're positive, you will be. Now you have this host of protocols.
Yeah.
Some of them had to go stay in a hotel for like 14 days. You ever see those dudes?
Yeah.
They're like, I'm in Indonesia and I'm in the hotel. And it was like Paranormal Activity going on or whatever.
So weird.
That was one of the Paranormal Activity videos I saw.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. So the guy
on cooties lockdown.
he took a PCR test and he got.
That was his first mistake.
Yeah. So he took the PCR test. He got told that he was a dirty, disgusting human and that he had the cuties. Germs. Yeah. So he had to go quarantine in this hotel.
Oh,
and I can't remember what country he was in, but Paranormal Activity took place in the hotel.
Oh, God.
Maybe
he was just delirious and he had to entertain himself.
No, he caught it on film. All of a sudden the door was like, but anyways, it's probably like evil spirits because they're like doing all kinds of evil stuff.
Totally.
But so that was the protocol. So if you took the test, and now you're positive. Now you have a host of protocols.
And now we're going to put you in the hospital and put a ventilator on you.
No.
Because that's the policy.
No, but first, no, you skipped one of the protocols.
Oh, I did?
Yeah. One of the protocols was Anthony Fauci had invested heavily in this drug called Remdesivir.
Yeah.
And it kills about 35% of the people that take it. Yep. So that was a very important protocol.
It causes organ failure in like 50% of the people. So, yeah.
We were working with Ebola and we liked the outcome.
Which was death in 50% of the people.
He's like, look, with Ebola, what we noticed is people's vital organs would liquefy. And so we wanted to put that in a drug.
Because
so that was Remdesivir.
At least they weren't dying of Ebola.
That's right.
Right?
Now we can just say.
Dying of like organ failure.
They can die of organ failure. And then.
And we could say that we saved them from Ebola.
We saved them from Ebola.
I think that's actually what he was doing.
That was pretty much it. That's how it worked.
Yeah.
So anyways, so now.
Right, you're right.
They give you
PCR
the Remdesivir. PCR
test, then the Remdesivir.
And by the way, every time you go through one of these, the doctor is getting a nice little commission check.
Oh, yeah. They got. So I have like friends who are nurses and firemen and stuff. And they actually told me firsthand knowledge, like. What was happening with the bonuses? They were, you know, it was like so much, and it varied from hospital and different states. But the positive PCR test was like a certain amount.
You get money.
Yeah, and then
Remdesivir.
Get money. Once you put the patient on Remdesivir, that was another bonus for the hospital, and then. The big one,
the ventilator.
And when somebody gets on Remdesivir and their organs start failing, then most of those people
it's a kill shot.
Need the ventilator.
As or they say, fact,
and did you know half the
89% of the people who went on a ventilator died?
Yeah. I was just going to tell you that. Almost everybody on
the panel. On the same page.
I know.
That's so awesome.
Everybody. Yeah. So, most of those people were going to die. And then a death was a big bonus. That was like the
75 grand.
That was the main. Yeah. I think
some you can go buy yourself a Beamer now.
Some hospitals, it was even like maybe 150.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The doctor gets to get a new trophy wife. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
With a car.
With a car. And she's got Voltons. So that's what happened. And look at what I'm kind of wondering is if those are the social engineers, they kind of want us dead.
They do.
Because if you look at what those protocols were leading to, it was like, come
here. Death.
Yeah. First.
The Grim Reaper standing.
It was like a line at Disneyland. But then when you walk through the turnstiles, you get to death.
Yeah.
That's where it leads to.
It wasn't like a fun ride.
Good. Here, come take your seat. It goes to death. But but I think that so like you go take the PCR test, then you get told that you have it, then you go quarantine, then you go
get remdesivir.
You get remdesivir, you get ventilated, then you get dead. And then what they put is he died of cooties.
Yeah.
He died of cooties.
Yeah.
No, but actually he died because we gave him poison and then put him on a ventilator.
Yeah.
But he died of cooties.
But it's cooties. I mean, even the people that like went to the hospital for motorcycle accidents, they all like died of cooties.
This guy blew his own head off with a shotgun, but we took a PCR test and we found some coronavirus from like 10 years ago. So we're going to put on the death certificate that he died of cooties because the doctor gets to buy a new Beamer from that. So my point is that kind of micromanagement, social engineering is built into our system now. Mm-hmm. And it's not corrupt. Good for us.
No.
So people who are listening, if the Indian dudes have not completely suppressed our voice, the protocols and the micromanagement is leading to our death. They don't want us to be happy and alive.
No. They don't want Firefly and Butterfly.
No.
No. Want Eeyores.
They want Eeyores that are going to go. Yeah, because what are they doing? We've talked about this. They're corralling.
They want to corral all the walkers.
If you would please go get into one of our new 15-minute cities.
Yeah.
We have them built up nice now.
And we need to keep talking about this kind of stuff and keep sharing it with other people so that people are aware of this. And some of the people who aren't walkers will not go along with it.
And that's all we can hope for.
Yeah, and that'll prevent it from happening. And that is all we can hope for. So we're hoping that, you know, you will share our videos and some friends will share them.
Yes.
And the word will get out and we can all save the world together.
Please.
We can all save the world together.
That's how we're going to have to do it. Because what you're going to have to do is understand that you kind of have to like participate, I think.
Yeah, you do. You can't just like, you know, sit back and do nothing.
I think, yeah, even if it's
just sharing.
Sharing
information
that the cult doesn't want out there,
yeah,
maybe that's just good enough.
Yeah,
but do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't
it's easy.
Don't listen to Q. Just trust the plan.
Yeah, sit back and do nothing. The white hats are in control.
Duh, that is Nancy Pelosi's body double.
Yeah, yeah.
They even did the boobs. Like that's her body double. That's not Nancy Pelosi. Okay, that's what Q says. Q says the white hats are in charge. Sit back.
Do
everything's
nothing.
Cool.
Yeah.
We're saying, I don't think you should do that. I think you need to actively participate in defeating this micromanagement to death.
And if, you know, if all that means is just by talking, and it's sometimes hard to talk about this kind of stuff, but sharing conversations like this may be a little easier. So,
well, you know what I noticed is you and I are still chipper.
I know.
Still joking around. Still making jokes. What does that mean? We're white-pilled.
Yeah.
Even despite the circumstances.
We're not Debbie Downers.
No.
We're not doom and gloom.
No.
Yeah.
Because even despite the circumstances, we're like, okay, yep, these are the circumstances. There's Indian dudes who are like making sure that we don't find our audience. And that could be a bummer, but we're just like, no, you know what? This is what we do.
Yeah.
We get around it and we have a positive attitude and we're eternal optimists.
Yeah.
I think that's what you have to be these days because what you have to really watch out for is becoming Eeyore. Because that's what they want you to do.
Yeah.
They want you to say, look, you're not allowed to find your audience. Just give it up And stop doing your podcast.
And here's a blue pill.
And here, you go be Eeyore.
Misery loves company.
Go be Eeyore. And we've got like a Netflix show for you and some VR goggles. So, well, anyways.
I think that was a really good talk.
It was short, but sweet.
Yeah.
I think it was interesting. Because you know what it was? It was kind of like our show's a microcosm for a larger phenomenon.
Exactly. For the big picture. And I think our listeners understand that.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And we do appreciate all of you 25 people listening to us.
We do.
And we love you.
Yeah.
And hopefully there'll be more. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
It was great seeing you again.
You too.